Welcome to the third quarter 2018 Bolsa Mexicana de Valores S.A.B. de C.V. earnings conference call. My name is Sylvia and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ramon Güemes, CFO. Mr. Güemes, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores' third quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on October 18th at Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to the third quarter of 2017, unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are José Oriol Bosch, CEO, Roberto González Barrera, SVP of Indeval, Luis Rodríguez Mena, Chief Technology Officer, José Manuel Allende, SVP Strategic Planning and Issuer Services, Alfredo Guillén, COO, José Miguel de Dios, Mexder, CEO, Luis René Ramón, Director of Investor Relations, and myself, Ramón Güemes, CFO. I would now like to turn the call over to Oriol Bosch.
Thanks, Ramón. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss Grupo BMV's third quarter 2018 results. Before reviewing our financial results for the quarter, I would like first to comment on the most important developments of the period and share some thoughts going forward. First of all, we hired a top strategy consultant firm to help us develop the medium and long-term strategy focused in top-line growth and total shareholder return. For the last 3 years, we have been working in improving Bolsa's margin to become a highly efficient organization. We have made big improvements and will continue working towards achieving that goal. Regarding competition, Bolsa has been able to retain 97.4% market share in cash equities trading from July 25th to September 30th. Currently, we are in the process of reviewing our fees in trading, listing, and maintenance as communicated through an MSNet report in August. On September 20th, Fitch Ratings assigned a BBB long-term foreign and local currency rating and AAA MEX national long-term rating. It is important to point out that the goal of this rating is to communicate the solvency, soundness, and financial stability of Bolsa from an expert, objective, and professional perspective. Grupo BMV does not plan to obtain financing through the debt market in the short or medium term. Additionally, yesterday, our board of directors agreed to prepay the Indeval loan in full during the fourth quarter. Current outstanding balance is 528 million pesos. This will free up 200 million pesos in cash flow next year. Regarding the Latin American exchange data, or LED, LED, we have completed agreements with the Peruvian, Colombian, and Chilean stock exchanges, hired a CEO, and started building relationships up north. We expect to open this line of business in the third quarter of 2018. Moreover, we are still looking for inorganic growth opportunities in the analytics space to further capitalize on our data and provide deeper insight and value-added services to our client. We will let you know as soon as we have a clear business opportunity. In line with our efforts to constantly upgrade our technology, during the third quarter, we continued investing in the automatization for transmission and reception of information from the global market, SIC, S-I-C, and the connection with international custodians, as well as investments to reinforce our technology infrastructure, information security, and business continuity. We will continue investing in these projects and other technology initiatives for the fourth quarter and throughout 2019. It is also worth mentioning that our IT cash equity trading infrastructure have not had a single glitch in more than 16 months in a row, demonstrating the competitiveness and stability of our in-house developed systems. Let me now review our quarterly financial results. Our revenue increased by 8% to 872 million pesos, with solid growth at Indeval, CCB, and Market Data. Our expenses increased 10% because of costs directly linked with revenue. The provision for the purchase of the remaining 20% of the shares of CIP Chile and consulting fees. Operating income, EBITDA, and net income increased at 6%, 3%, and 10% respectively. The EBITDA margin was registered at 55%. In cash equities trading, revenue was similar to that observed in the third quarter of 2017, registering 71 million pesos. The average daily traded volume was recorded at 13.5 billion pesos, again, similar amount to 2017 third quarter. The domestic market decreased by 3%, while the global market, the SIC, increased by 5%. The market registered less operations and lower volatility due to expectations regarding the new administration and the announcement that the United States, Mexico, and Canada had come to an agreement to replace NAFTA with the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, now called USMCA. Cash equity clearing increased by 20% to 54 million pesos as a result of fewer number of cross-traded securities that only need to be registered but not cleared. Derivative revenue reached 19 million pesos in MexDef, which resulted 2 million pesos or 11% less than in three quarter 2017. As for the derivatives clearing, Asigna revenues increased by 3% to 31 million pesos due to higher volume in swaps. Additionally, the average margin deposits for the quarter were 37.9 billion pesos, 3% lower than the third quarter of 2017. CIF ICAP's revenue decreased by 5% to 135 million pesos as a result of higher sales in Mexico, up 14%, and lower sales in Chile, down 17%. CIF ICAP's revenue in Chile decreased due to investors' risk aversion to emerging markets caused by the rise of interest rates in the United States and the volatility in some commodity prices. Custody revenue rose by 13% to 220 million pesos, explained by the growth in both national and international assets under custody. The services related to the global market, the SIC, recorded revenues of 51 million pesos, 9 million or 21% above third quarter 2017. It is important to mention that it has been a year since the SIC business model was changed. Information services increased by 24% to 136 million pesos due to extraordinary non-recurring audit-driven revenue for 20 million. Excluding this one-time event, information services increased 6% compared to the third quarter 2017. Leasing and maintenance revenues rose by 6% to 171 million pesos. Leasing revenue increased 2% versus third quarter 17 as a result of the listing of Fibra storage for 271 million pesos, 4 Serpis, and 3 Tecades. Maintenance revenue increased by 7% explained by leasing in previous years. We continue with our promotion efforts with potential and current issuers. In the first 9 months of 2018, 32 new issuers were listed, 10 in the debt market, 10 Cecades, 4 Serpis, 3 Fibras, C Fibras E, and 1 SPAC and 1 TRAC. The amount placed in the medium and long-term debt up to September 2018 resulted in a historical record of 224.6 billion pesos issued compared to 203.1 billion pesos in the same period of 2017. The debt instruments that will mature in 2019 will offset the growing medium and long-term listings in 2018. Expenses for the quarter amounted to 416 million pesos, up 10% or 39 million pesos compared to last year's third quarter, which is explained by the following items. First, subcustody presented an increase of 11 million pesos or 57% compared to the third quarter of 2017 and 1 million pesos or 5% compared to the second quarter of the year due to the growth in the number of securities in custody abroad for the global market for the SIC. This concept is directly related to higher income in Indeval. An evaluation of suppliers is being carried out in order to consolidate providers and lower the fee in fourth quarter 18 and during 2019. Second, personnel increased by 10 million pesos or 5% due to corporate restructuring, which will bring savings in the future quarters. Third, in others, we increased 10 million pesos or 52% due to the provision for the purchase of the remaining 20% of the shares of CIF Chile. It is important to mention that last year we registered the full annual provision for 24 million in the fourth quarter compared to 6 million every quarter in 2018. And fourth, depreciation and amortization showed a decrease of 12 million pesos or 37% due to the full amortization of the clearing system in CCB and the cancellation of the CME deal in 2017. The revenues and expenses results of the quarter led us to an operating margin of 52% and an EBITDA margin of 55%. The tax rate was of 28% in line with 2017. Net income was registered at 333 million pesos, 10% higher than the figure for the third quarter of 2017, influenced higher financing income and solid performance in PMP subsidiaries. For the first 9 months of 2018, PMP reached an operating income of 1.4 billion pesos and an EBITDA of 1.5 billion pesos, 14% higher than the same period of 2017. The EBITDA margin was 56% and the net income was 1 billion pesos, 21% higher. Let's now turn to cash flow and balance sheet. The cash balance and at the end of September 2018 was 2.9 billion pesos, an increase of 134 million pesos as a result of the net effect of dividend payments, maintenance fee collected in advance, and the Indeval loan payment. The current liabilities increased against December in $185 million due to the maintenance fee collected in January 2018. CAPEX was 32 million pesos for the quarter, which were mainly invested in technology. So, to summarize, our commitment to executing on our strategic plan, innovating to serve our customers, and generating positive economic value for our shareholders produced 15% growth in operating income and 21% growth in net income. With that, I thank you for all your time, and together with my colleagues, we will gladly answer any question you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Oriol, and good morning to all your team, and thanks for the opportunity to take questions. I have three. The first one is in terms of the revenues. We saw softer trading and post-trading revenues during the quarter, so just want to know if this was explained by the business seasonality, and how are you seeing the last quarter? Do you think revenues should improve? What should be the drivers that you are seeing? On my second question is in terms of your guidance. When we analyze the year-to-date net income, we're seeing it's already above the market consensus, above your guidance. I know that you usually don't change the guidance for the year, but what are you thinking for the last quarter? And on my last question is on competition. As you mentioned, despite competition has failed to gain any meaningful market share, you are evaluating your prices by the end of the year or early next year. So can you share with us any additional information? How much can prices go down for trading, listings, and maintenance fees? Thank you.
Ernesto, good morning. On your first question, the softer trading revenues, yes, we think this is mostly due to seasonality, compounded with the NAFTA negotiations and with the elections. We historically, Q4 has been stronger than Q3, especially October, November. December tends to fall for obvious year-end reasons. But yes, seasonally, we do have seasonality for softer Q3 trading. Regarding guidance, how could I say that you answered your own question? We do not update our guidance, and we do not give quarterly guidances. As we've said before, our guidance is our best estimate at one point, and we do not update that. So I'm sorry, we do not provide quarterly guidances. On competition, I'll let Oriol take the question.
Thanks, Ernesto. As we mentioned at the end of August, we are currently in the process of reviewing our fees for trading, listing, and maintenance. We are still in the process, and we need an internal approval from the board, and then any price that we change in any of these topics has to be approved by our regulator. So we cannot give any kind of guidance before it is internally and approved by them, by our regulators. However, obviously, and this is the beauty of the competition, we now have a competitor that already released some pricing lower than our prices, so we have to do something. However, our prices on cash equity are very competitive. We can compare that, and it's very easy to compare that with other exchanges in the not just in the emerging market world. We're very competitive in the emerging markets exchanges, and also pretty similar to developed markets. However, the listing and maintenance is more unique, so we are looking at that. And definitely, we are going to do something. We do not want to lose market share, despite we have not seen a big impact since BIVA started in July 25th. As mentioned, their market share in cash equities has been something like 2.5%, and a very a volume that is coming just for a few trades. But we are not feeling comfortable with this 2.5, and we know that we have to do something and working on that. So as soon as it is approved, we will release that.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you, Ernesto.
Our following question comes from Claudia Benavente from Santander.
Hi, thank you for your call. For the opportunity of asking questions, I have three questions. The first is if you can share with us some color on how is progressing the first stage of the LATAM exchanges data. You previously mentioned the first stage would take place on in the second half of 2018. Is it already generating revenues? If not, when should we expect to see revenues from it? My second question is, I read today in the newspaper the agreement with British Telecommunications on what it consists, how much will you pay for the use of the, of its network, what is the expected contribution you are estimating in terms of revenues, what is the information do you want to distribute, is it closing prices and or data from trading operations? And my last question is if it's possible for a company to list its equity with Bolsa and its debt with BIVA, for example. Thank you.
Good morning, Claudia. This is Jose Manuel Allende. I will try to address the three of them. The last one, a company can do the equity listing on one exchange and do the debt listing on another exchange. Yes, that is possible. That's a possibility. The only issue is that the company will be obliged to do disclosure and provide information into the both exchanges. That will be the what they will need to comply in doing that. But that's a possibility. Regarding BT, it's BT Radiance, what we disclosed yesterday and a press release, and that has to do with the market data strategy. For the last couple of years, we work on improving all the technology, moving into the multicast platform technology, which is the one that most exchanges use around the world. So we move into international standards for these capabilities. As you may remember, last year we set up a point of presence in Equinix facilities in New York. So the idea is that our market data will be placed in this POP in New York, and through the Equinix facilities, we will be able to distribute into the U.S. market and eventually into the European market. After the POP, we have been contacting different networks or providers or redistributors of information in order to expand our distribution capabilities. We did that with a couple of them last year, and now we just announced that we're getting connection with the BT Radiance network in order to redistribute our feed, data feed, into their facilities, and eventually many of their clients will be able to receive it directly through these data feeds. And the first one regarding the LATAM exchanges data is not 2018, it's 2019, which we expect the business to start operations and start generating some revenues. So far, we have been just making and working on the arrangement with the other exchanges, Latin American exchanges, and setting up the business case, hiring all the facilities and people that will be responsible for that. The business case has two phases, two stages. The first one is what we call the reference data, which is non-real-time data. The idea is to integrate and standardize all the information from the LATAM exchanges, starting with the MIL exchanges on the first stage, for information on corporate actions, material events, and master file securities. The second stage will come up to 2020. The idea is to integrate the real-time data. So the full year from now into the third quarter of next year, we will start doing the investments and setting up all the needed infrastructure.
And in addition, Claudia, as already mentioned by Jose Manuel, we can have one company with equity in one bolsa and debt in another bolsa, or any kind of combination with different debt issuances in different exchanges. However, and combining that with the question of Ernesto, one of the things that we are looking at, and is part of the analysis that I already mentioned, we are thinking in a fee for a client with all the products at the bolsa that could be lower than the fee of for a client that could have products in different exchanges. So let's say some kind of loyalty program. This is one of the things that we are looking at. And again, it's something that we have not decided and therefore publicly announced it yet.
Perfect. Super clear. I'm sorry for repeating questions in that event because I was dropped from the call, so I couldn't listen anything before that. So I have a follow-up question. BT, can you share with us any idea of what would be the fees or cost involved in this agreement? And if you have any idea of the revenues that you can earn from this, thank you.
There's not a specific cost for the exchange. It's more like an agreement in which we set we put all our feeds and information on their platform, and they will redistribute the information for their customers, and they will charge some special fees for that connection onto the end user. That's where BT can make the money. And for us, we will be selling our data.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Carlos Flores from Santander. Carlos, if your line is on mute, please unmute. Our next question comes from Gilberto Garcia from Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. A couple of questions, if I may. Can you provide a color on the timing of the pricing review that you're currently undertaking? And my second question is, we have seen that you have continued to be active talking to companies about listing. Can you provide any color on your on those conversations, what has been the feedback from those companies? Thank you.
Yeah, regarding the first question, we have been already working on our side, but it also depends, as previously mentioned, of the approval of the regulators. Hopefully, this is going to be something very fast. So we're expecting to release that in the next weeks. And Gilberto, can you repeat the second question, please?
Sure. So we have seen in the news that you have stayed active talking to unlisted companies about the advantages of being a public company. So I was wondering if you can provide some color on what the feedback from those conversations has been.
Regarding promotion efforts from the exchange, I would say that this is not the new issue for us. Since 10 years ago or so, we had set a promotion area with some people that attend potential companies that are willing to explore any listing on the exchange. We have a lot of companies on the contact with them, providing information about the market, assessing them on how to approach the first stage of the market, moving eventually into the debt segment first and eventually an IPO. So that takes a lot of time and the promotion, but it's clearly one of the areas that we are focusing and dedicating a lot of resources because we're certain that any listing on the exchange move out through the and provide revenue through all the business chain. So we're clearly focused on keeping up with the promotion capabilities that we have on the exchange.
And in addition, I would like to add that having participated in some of those promotion activities, that we continue to believe that and we have seen that for years, that the main challenges that we have at the exchange, I would say that the first one is the lack of financial culture that we have in Mexico. And talking about companies as well as investors, the number of companies, as we know, is limited, but the number of investors that we have in the exchange compared to other countries is also very low. So we need to work on both sides. We need to work on the challenge is to change and the wrong idea that they have about the exchange, because in some cases they overestimate the requirements and the cost and underestimate all the advantages and benefits of being a public company. I would say that the corporate governance is another of the main challenges. Another one is the transparency. This is a big problem that we have in Mexico, and transparency means a lot of things, including some double accounting and companies that do not want to go public because of that. Another challenge is the lack of growth in the economy. The number of companies that we will have in Mexico if the economy grows at 5 or 6% is going to be very different from the number of companies if we continue to grow at a 2% pace that we have seen for a couple of years. Another one is the competition, not talking about Viva, talking about the banking sector that is a competitor or other kind of financing, much less formal than banking or financing through the exchange. So I think that there are a lot of things that we can and we should continue to work. And however, as we always say, because of that, we think that the potential that we have in Mexico is huge.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks to you, Gilberto.
Our following question comes from Mohamed Ahmed from Boston.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for the question opportunity. Just a couple of quick questions on Viva. You said 2.5% share. I'm just interested in knowing if you could give any color on the trend on cash equity share. And then separately on listings and maintenance side, could you give me any color on how much of a discount they're targeting in that side that, and you know, and that's leading you to perhaps consider a price revision for yourself. And any color on that? I mean, you know, in various scenarios, what potentially could we see there? Thank you.
Yeah, regarding the trend, has been pretty stable, and I would say that the volume they have had is very low. However, they have had some cross trades, and one or two big cross trades during the day, and then they go above 5%. If they do not have cross trades, the number is closer, very close to zero. But the average has been that, and with no upward or downward trend. Regarding listing and maintenance, regarding the fees, it's not too easy because there are a couple of, and depends on the product, depends on the amount, depends on the size. So there are a couple of things that and this is something that we are working. And something that is also important to mention is that by regulation, as of October 22nd, 23rd, we are going to have a new requirement from the regulators for the exchanges. That is the best execution. So as of today, we have not had this best execution in place. Once we have it, I think that and there are three different filters. The first one is the best price. The second one is volume. And the third one is the probability of execution. And we believe that once we have the best execution, it's going to be a much more fair field for the competitors. And therefore, this is going to favor Bolts and not Viva.
All right. Sorry. Just a quick question on rent and maintenance Q4 last year versus what we might expect this year. There was a significant increase in Q4 last year. I was just wondering, is that a seasonality thing or there was one-off last Q4 and this year should be more in line with?
That's a reclass in the income statement, Mohammed. We moved an expense line from other expenses into rent and maintenance. It's what we call non-recurring maintenance expenses within the building. So okay. We reclass that.
Yeah. And regarding the fees, we're looking at the trading, we're looking at the listing and maintenance, but we're also looking at the fees for other clients that are very important, that are the brokerage, the broker dealers, the casas de bolsa that we have in Mexico. And this is very important because they have been the main negatively impacted by the competition unless the market, the size of the pie, the size of the market growth. Why is that? Because they have fixed costs. So they are paying, let's say as an example, they are paying all the 30 brokerage houses that we have in Mexico were paying a fee to the Bolsa. Now they are paying one fee to the Bolsa and one fee to Viva. So this is increasing the fixed cost they have. The only way that they are going to be happy is if the size of the market grows. That is what Viva has promised. Viva has been promising that they are going to grow the traded volume by 50%, 50, in the next 2 or 3 years, and that they are going to bring 50 again, new companies to the market in the same period of time, to the equity market, to the capital market. Not all the fees are lower. One of the fees that Viva is above our fees is on the membership that they are charging to the Casas de Bolsa. Why is that? Because this is something that the Casas de Bolsa have to pay by regulation. They are forced. They cannot discuss, and Viva knows that. So because of that, these kind of fees are higher. So we're looking at this combination, and for each of the products, for each of the size, for debt short-term, for long-term, for SECADE, FIBRA, the fee is different. So it's a bit more complex.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks to you.
Thanks.
Our following question comes from Rafael Frade from Bradesco.
Hi, good morning all. I would like just a follow-up on the best execution that will be in place by the end of October. I would like to understand if it will be obliged by all the brokers to provide that, but also will be obliged by – I heard that investors would not necessarily be obliged to follow this regulation, that they could still choose which exchange they want to trade. How does it will work?
Yes, hello, this is Alfredo Guillen. The best execution is a rule that will apply for the local market. The SIC will not enter into the best execution rules, as obviously the prices are being are more deep in the markets of origin. Nevertheless, you're right, in certain DMA orders, the order that is being sent by the buy side can be exempted for the best execution rule as they comply with their market of origin. If an institutional investor in the U.S. sends a DMA order to the Mexican Stock Exchange through a broker, they can ask the broker to jump this regulation because they comply with their own regulation. So we can say that approximately 30% of the volume in the Mexican Stock Exchange will be subject to best execution. Cross orders, even though they're not subject to best execution, they have to wipe off the orders that are in the book. And certain rules apply for these kind of trades.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Otra? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have no further questions at this time.
Okay, thanks to all for attending this conference call, and thanks a lot for your questions. We appreciate it. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.